It's almost time, Rube. I'm real excited. We have a few days, just a few days.
Dave's actually going down today to training camp, get there a couple days early.
I'm going to pitch a tent in the parking lot and just wait out there.
I would not be shocked if you did that.
It's exciting, though. We're recording this on Monday morning, so in about 2 days, we'll be on the practice field, ready to watch their first practice. Players report Tuesday. First practice and training camp starts at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. You say whatever you want about this team or your expectations for them. There's always going to be excitement the first time a training camp starts.
Yeah, and I think when you're in a team in this situation with a new coach and a new quarterback, a lot of new things, a lot of new players, you have that. And there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of curiosity about what kind of coach will Nick Sirianni be? What kind of quarterback is Jalen Hurts? And, you know, we'll start getting some of those answers on Wednesday, start at least. So I think anytime you have a new coach and a new quarterback, especially both the same year, kind of like in 16, there's going to be a lot of interest.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot to get to today. We'll try to fit it all in. The Eagles obviously
acquired... But no, we will fit it all in. I mean, it's like we could go on forever.
That's true. That's true. I after the last one, the people are like, oh, how long are these things? Eagles got a new player, Steven Nelson. We'll talk about him a little bit. We have to talk about Deshaun Watson because we have to. I think it's a rule now that everybody, we have to just talk about him. We'll go through some of the players we really want to watch during training camp. And then we have to finish off my top 10 list or my top 20 list. We'll go through the top 10 most important Eagles of the 2021 season.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
But we have to start with Steven Nelson. It was like the will they, won't they storyline of the summer. A lot of flirtation, and finally the Eagles signed Nelson. To me, it's a really good move. It helps out. It's almost like Eagles fans shouldn't even be excited about it. They should be relieved about it.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think I was surprised how much negative reaction there was to it. And he's not a superstar. He's not an all pro. He's never been to a Pro Bowl. But compared to what they had, I mean, it's huge just to get a solid. I mean, you're looking at a CB2. So, you know, if he was going to be CB1, I could see some pushback on it. But to have a solid guy like that when your other options were Avante Maddox and Michael Jacquet, and a rookie who might be a good player but is not ready for this yet, it's huge. And it makes him better two positions, because now you can put Avante back in the slot where he's, you know, more comfortable and more of a natural position for him. So I think, considering if you asked 100 Eagles fans 2 days ago what's their biggest need, 100 of them would have said CB2, and now they have one.
Yeah, and the Avante point is a really good one, because we saw last year, it's not really a knock on him. He was bad, but he was playing out of position. And he should be excited about this. I guess there's some ego involved. He thinks he can be an outside corner, but this helps him this year, and it's a contract year for him. So it could help him get some change in his pocket if he plays well as the nickel, which I think he will. I think he's much better suited there than outside. And it also helps Zach McPherson, because I was starting to think, well, they're going to have to play the rookie. And you worry about throwing a fourth round rookie into the fire, what it's going to do to him long term. So I think it's better for him now. We can come along a little slower, and they might need him. I mean, we've seen this team get decimated with injuries at that position. So there's a pretty good chance he's going to need to play this year, but he won't have to be the starter right away. And that'll be helpful to him and his development. So all around it, they get a good player. They get Avante back in a more natural spot, and McPherson gets a chance to come along slower. All together, it's a really good move.
Yeah, McPherson can certainly earn playing time, but he won't have to be rushed into that playing time. And, you know, it's not like he's going to be, you know, getting cobwebs on the bench. I mean, he's going to have a chance like any rookie to show that he deserves reps, that he deserves playing time. But they're not going to be forced to do it before he's ready. And that's the big thing. You know, so you look at the secondary now, and I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on Rodney and his health and everything, but at least they have functional pieces in all four spots now, which they didn't 48 hours ago.
Yeah, all five spots, really, if you include the nickel in there.
Right.
And yeah, on paper, it looks pretty good. You have Slay on one side, Nelson on the other, Avante as the nickel, and then your two safeties are Harris and Rodney McLeod, if he's healthy and ready to go. It's funny because with Harris and Nelson, if the Eagles had paid them after their 2019 seasons, they would have been top of the market players. So they've shown better than what they were in 2020. So you don't really know what you're getting, but that's why you got them for a relative discount. Pretty similar. We haven't seen the full numbers on Nelson yet, but it seems like a pretty comparable contract to what Harris got, both 1-year deals. So there's potential there. We got to see how it all comes together, but on paper, that's a pretty good unit.
Yeah. And obviously Rodney's health is a big part of that equation, because they don't have a whole lot of experience behind those two. You know, when you look at the free agents they added, they're all in that same, you know, they're all guys who've had, I mean, like Kerryon Johnson, you know, had big rookie year and has had issues since then. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan is a 4-time Pro Bowler. He's not the same player, but he's still pretty good. I mean, all these guys have had, you know, real good seasons, real good moments, but there's maybe one question about them. And when you're in the cap situation that the Eagles started free agency or started the offseason in, you know, you're not going to be able to sign the premium guys that don't have any questions. So you know what they did was they got guys who were that second tier or third tier, but they've all got good things on their resume. It's just not, you know, every year they're not. So I think, considering their limitations, you know, when you look at all these guys that they added, none of them are superstars, but they're all potentially good solid pieces. Now we've seen that go the other way before. I mean, we've seen them add these second and third tier guys, and there's a reason they're second tier guys. So you don't always know what you're going to get. Maybe Kerryon Johnson will never be the player he was as a rookie. We don't know. Maybe Ryan Kerrigan at, you know, 33 won't be a factor anymore. You don't know, but they added guys who, you know, have a chance to be pretty good at a price that, you know, you can work with.
What do you make of all these 1-year deals? Because I think there was, you know, years ago, there was a school of thought where the 1-year deals are for teams who are on the cusp of winning something, and they're getting a guy here to bolster the roster to make a run. But the Eagles clearly aren't in that position, and everyone they've signed this offseason, they've all been 1-year deals. What do you make of that?
It's interesting. I guess it gives them flexibility. It gives the player a chance to, you know, reestablish. I mean, these are all guys who are trying to kind of reestablish what they were a year or two ago. And if they can do that, then they're in line for free agency and a bigger contract. Every player wants that. So the players like it because it gives them a chance to, you know, kind of reestablish themselves and be in line for a big payday. And for the Eagles, give them the flexibility of not being tied down to a big number, and still being able to re-sign guys or sign guys to extend, you know, longer term extensions for more money if, you know, if they feel like the player deserves it. Now, the player doesn't have to agree to that, but, you know, in a lot of cases, a player will take that and take that bonus that they get. So it gives both sides flexibility. You know, but as a team, you have the risk of losing a really good player to, you know, to free agency. If Ryan Kerrigan has 11 sacks, I mean, that's probably not going to happen, but just for an example, if one of these guys has a big year, you know, there's a chance that they won't agree to what the Eagles offer if they do make an offer, and they'll go hit free agency and they'll go somewhere else. But, you know, I mean, Howie talks a lot about flexibility, and this gives him and the players a lot of it.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, this feels like a bridge year. And that's why the flexibility is important, because I think we all understand that this team isn't a serious Super Bowl contender. They have to think it in the locker room. They have to act like it on the field, but they're not. And I think the front office recognizes that. So, and you look ahead to 2022, and you have all the draft picks, you have all this cap space. I mean, that's the year, I think, where you really transform the roster. So I get why they did it the way they did, because you don't want to start sinking money into players in these giant deals this year when next year's your year. And we'll see what happens with the quarterback situation. That's obviously the biggest question mark about this team. We'll get into Deshaun Watson, but overall, I feel like that's almost the theme of this year. It's like, we want to be competitive this year. We want to learn a lot about our head coach. We want to see what we have in the quarterback. We want to see what we have in some of these young players, but we got to get to next year, and next year is the year. Do you feel like that too?
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. And I mean, when you have three first round picks, you know, most likely, or I think it's pretty likely they'll have three first round picks. And it's a natural kind of starting point for a new era. And so I guess that's a big part of it. You don't want to be tied down to a position, big money, long-term deal, where you might be drafting a guy in the first round. That's part of it, I guess. But I just think they want that cap flexibility and the roster flexibility with those three picks, and they have it. And there's just so many unknowns, and it goes back to the quarterback. I mean, until they have an answer on him, it's hard to really plan the future out. You know, it's hard to kind of, you know, do those three picks need to go into a package for whether it's Watson or another quarterback, or drafting a quarterback, or trading for one? Or can you get weapons for Hurts, or, you know, defensive help with those picks? It's hard to know until we see him play. So, it definitely feels that way. And I don't see any reason, whether it's with Hurts or with another quarterback, that this team can't be a big time contender in 2022, because they have the assets to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's move on now to Hurts and Watson, because I think ideally the best case scenario would be Hurts plays this year. He plays really well enough to think that he's the franchise quarterback. I mean, ideally, I think the best case scenario for the Eagles is that Jalen Hurts is, when he plays really well, like to the point where they think this is our franchise quarterback. And then you don't need to trade away picks. You don't need to dump a lot of money into the position, although they'd eventually have to extend him. But I mean, that would be the best case scenario, but I don't know how they can kind of bank on that without knowing what he is.
Yeah, you can't. And I'm bullish on him, but who knows? Nobody knows, which kind of makes it's kind of one of the things that makes this such a fun year. I mean, I really have no idea how this is going to go with Hurts, and I can't wait to watch it play out starting Wednesday morning on the practice field and, you know, going through the season. I think he's going to be pretty good. I think there's a lot of reason to be encouraged, but I don't know. So I think that's what this year's about, is getting an answer. And I always go back to that, you know, that window of, you get to December, early January in this case, in this year, and you just don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. And I've said this before, I think we will know when the season ends, but there's a chance, you know, there's a chance that we'll get to the end of the season and be like, well, he did some good things and he had some great games, but boy, I don't know if we're ready to commit to him. And, you know, that's going to be interesting to see, but
is that enough?
If
that's the case, and I think that's more likely than you and some other people think, but if the Eagles get to that point and if they're not completely sold, Do you think they then like they? I think they have to be completely sold on him to not do something else.
I agree. I think if it, if there's that doubt, I mean, on the one hand, he'll still be just 23. So if he's coming off an okay season, you know, it used to be, I mean, quarterbacks got like 5 years to get to that point and prove themselves. That's not the case anymore. I mean, gosh, Randall wasn't a full-time starter until his fourth year. You know, he was kind of in and out of the lineup. I guess the third year, the strike year, but he started most of those games. But that's not the case anymore. I mean, they're going to want an answer by the end of the year. I think because of those three picks, they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing. You can't let opportunity pass you by if you're not sold on Hurts, right? Yeah. And that's where the opportunity with Deshaun Watson might come into play. NFL Network on Monday reported that the Texans are finally willing to listen to offers. They didn't have a choice. I know that even before all the allegations came out against Watson, that he didn't want to be there. So ultimately the Texans had no choice but to trade him. It was going to eventually happen. We've seen that here. You know, if a franchise quarterback doesn't want to be in a city, you can try to convince him, but you're going to have to trade him ultimately if that's the case. So
who are you thinking about?
I won't say it. You're not getting me today. So I think eventually they're going to trade him, but with the cases against him, that's the trickiest part of this. If that didn't exist, I think everyone would kind of be all in, because here's this great player entering the prime of his career. It's going to cost a lot to get him, but who cares? You're getting Deshaun Watson. I don't know what happens here, but there's a lot of smoke around the Eagles.
Yeah, and you're right. If it wasn't for the off-field stuff, I would make that deal now. I'd make that deal right now. As much as I like Hurts, I mean, and we were just talking about this before we started the pod. I mean, he's 25. I mean, what's he been to, three Pro Bowls?
Last three seasons.
And you know, you made the point in your piece. I mean, he playing with garbage last year. What did he throw for 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns and 7 picks?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, imagine him with Devontae. Imagine him with, you know, Devontae and Goddard and Miles and who knows who else, you know, Rager, whoever else is here. You would do that in New York second, but you just can't. You can't right now. And I mean, I still think there's a chance he doesn't play this year. You know, we'll see what happens. But I don't think any team's going to be in a real rush to make that move with all the unanswered questions.
Yeah, and we've heard reports that the Eagles are among the teams that have kind of been following that legal process, and they should be, because if any team has any interest, you have to reach a comfort level that it's not going to torpedo your franchise, and you have to get to a place where morally you want that person in your building. And that's a whole nother topic. It's tough because you don't want to separate it too much because it's a part of the whole situation. But I also don't know the details of all that. So I'm trying to look at him as a football player. And just from a football standpoint, you would hate if you're the Eagles to miss out on the opportunity to get a player like this, because opportunities to land a player like this at this point in his career don't come up very often. We're talking about a guy who doesn't turn 26 until September, might be entering the prime of a Hall of Fame career. I mean, it doesn't happen. Those guys aren't available. It just doesn't happen. So the Eagles are always happy to be opportunistic, right? And I'm not talking about the legal stuff. I'm talking about his relationship with the Texans front office. The Eagles aren't above working the system and playing the Texans to get a good player because he doesn't want to be in that city anymore.
Oh no, not at all. You can't run a team like that. No. And they're better positioned probably than anybody to acquire him. I mean, if it takes three picks and a couple other picks, they got him, or three ones and a couple other picks, they got him. they could do it. They could do it right now if they wanted. But
he has a no trade clause too, but I would assume he'd waive it to go just about anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he would. So I just don't think anything's gonna happen. And I know people are, you know, well, this is a team that, you know, signed Michael Vick. There's so many differences. I mean, that was, he had served his time. He had, you know, he had owned up to it. He had really became a changed person. He said he had, and as it turned out, he really had. And it still was a very difficult decision for Jeff Lurie. And I don't want to compare, you know, you don't want to compare allegations and get into any of that, but just, yeah. You know, but just as a person, I mean, Michael Vick really had to convince Jeff Lurie that he had changed. He spent 17 months in prison and a month in house arrest, before the Eagles signed him. So I just don't see it. I just don't see it unless, and again, we're not there. We just know what we've read. And what we've seen from afar, but I just can't imagine until there's a resolution of all of it that the Eagles would be involved. I just can't fathom it.
Yeah, and a lot of times these things are slow moving, and there's civil cases. We're talking about civil cases right now, so there could be settlements at some point. But if it plays through the legal system, it could take a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing. If they end up settling everything, then what do you do? Then how do you, you know, I mean, if it doesn't go, if there are no charges, you know, and there's just a lot of,
yeah. The NFL doesn't operate under the confines of the law either. I think there was almost everyone kind of expected him to be on the commissioner's exempt list, and he isn't. He's reporting the training camp. So is that a signal that the NFL doesn't think they're going to go forward with any punishment? I don't know what that means, but that's a big part of it too, because the NFL can do whatever they want, and they have before, and they will again.
Yeah, that's true. So there's a lot of factors involved. I just don't see him playing for the Eagles anytime soon.
Yeah. I do feel a little bad for Jalen Hurts that he's finally the quarterback here, and a lot of the talk in the city is around getting a different quarterback. But the one thing, the difference between Hurts and some other guys is that I don't think Hurts is going to let it affect him.
What other guys are you thinking of?
Don't know.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. I think he's wired in a really good way when it comes to that. I don't think that stuff, I'm sure he hears it and he knows about it, but he's so focused and he's so driven and he's so confident. I don't think any of that matters. I think he'll go out and he'll do his thing no matter what reports are out there, what media and fans are saying. I like that side of him.
Yeah, I do too. And it'll be fun to watch him this summer. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in the offense that Nick Sirianni designs for him, because last year we saw him in an offense that he was kind of forced into. That was Carson's offense, as much as it didn't work for him. Ah, oh, sorry. Yeah, I'll put it in the. Oh man, I got so far into this too, and I just
28 minutes in.
I know. I'm sorry. Scrub the board back to 0 days. I didn't. I really didn't mean to do it. That's awesome. Well,
we never mean to do it.
I know. Man, I really thought we were almost out of that topic too. Oh, well. But it was designed for the previous quarterback. And
it doesn't matter now.
Well, I'm not going to do it again.
Okay.
But it was designed for the previous quarterback. And we've heard so much about Nick Sirianni and how he wants to cater his offense to his players. So a big part of that is obviously a quarterback with that dual skill set. So I'm excited to see him. And that's a perfect segue, because we wanted to talk about some of the players we're most excited to see this year. And I'm sorry if I just took one of yours. And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts. I think we're all going to be watching the starting quarterback. It's almost unfair to say him. How about give me one guy, and we'll go back and forth here. We'll each pick three guys. Just that they don't have to be superstars. They could be, but just someone that you have a reason to watch closely this summer.
I'll start with Jalen Reagor. He's a guy that there's reason to be encouraged. A lot has changed since a year ago, as far as the offense, his health. He's number two now instead of number one, or trying to be number one. Hopefully he's grown up a little bit. I think it's an offense that's better tailored to him. So I don't know what he is, but I'm really excited to watch and see if he can take. He's got to take a big step in year two. I mean, as a first round pick, and we talk so much about Devontae and our expectations of him, but I think Reagor really needs to assert himself as unless Travis Fulgham is what he was for 5 weeks, Rager's got to be a solid number two. He's got to be that Macklin to Devontae's Deshaun and be a 900 to 1,000, 1,100 yard guy. And we'll see if he is.
Yeah, if he's that, all of a sudden, this is a good receiving core. Yeah, he was on my list. And I'm going to actually say Fulgham because we haven't seen him in a training camp because he arrived, late last year.
Right.
And it's still one of the most confusing things about last season was this guy comes out of nowhere, best receiver in the league for a month, and then disappears. It's really strange. And I think he'll be a fun player to watch at training camp because he has big play potential. And I want to see him work with Hurts because all of his success last year in those 5 weeks was with the other guy. So, and a lot of his game, he's not going to separate like crazy. It's going to be almost like Alshon in a way. And I know it's funny. People hear Alshon now and they groan, but Alshon was a good player for a long time.
Yeah.
But he needed his quarterback to trust him. So that'll be important for Fulgham. And he's, as much as Rager's a wild card, you can argue Fulgham's a bigger wild card because at least Reagor, they can get involved on some, little trickery. They can get defenses leaning and getting the ball. Fulgham's got to just be a receiver. So I can't wait to see what he does. And I can't wait to find out what he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea. It was one of the strangest seasons we've ever seen. Not just here, but anywhere for a guy to be that dominating for 5 weeks and then just off the charts. Number two, I'll give you, am I allowed to go Kenny Gainwell and Kerryon Johnson as a ticket? Like, just cause they're both,
go ahead, you can cheat. Yeah.
Both kind of, they're both new running backs here. I'm kind of intrigued by Gainwell. And I mean, he's a guy who caught, 50, I think maybe 55 passes at Memphis.
2 years ago,
didn't play last year. And ran the ball well. And Kerryon Johnson 3 years ago, had a really, really promising rookie year. So they're both, after Miles, I mean, this running back picture is kind of murky. Where does Boston Scott fit in? Where does Jordan Howard fit in? Where does Kerryon Johnson and Kenny Gainwell fit in? We kind of know what Boston Scott can do, and we know what kind of player at this point, Jordan Howard is. But Gainwell and Kerryon Johnson are two young backs with potential that I'm curious to see where they are in their careers and what they can offer.
Yeah, and with running backs, I think it's easier to get an evaluation, almost like you can get a better snap judgment. I think we'll be able to watch these guys and figure out pretty quickly whether or not they can help the team. And with Johnson, it's going to be, are the knees shot? If the knees are shot, we saw with Jay Ajayi a couple years ago, they brought him back. He had nothing left. Yeah. There was nothing left. So I think we'll know with him and Gainwell. I think we'll figure out pretty quickly if he can play, second, if the Eagles can trust him, can he hold on to the football? Can he pass protect? Those are the two things that normally keep a rookie or a young running back off the field. If you can do both of those things, get him out there, find a way to get him into the offense immediately. He can play running backs are one of those positions where you don't have to wait. You know, some positions kind of, it's a slow burn. Running backs, you better put them out there. You better get what you can while you can out of them.
Yeah, and the thing I like about this, I mean, all these guys other than Jordan Howard, I mean, Miles, Boston, Gainwell, and Kerryon Johnson are all good receivers. And I think that's going to be a big part of, at least Miles was a good receiver 2 years ago. I think it's going to be a big part of this offense is throwing to the backs. You know, Nick's always talking about, you know, short passes, high percentage throws, get the ball in guys' hands and let them make plays. And if you have running backs that can catch the ball, running backs, tight ends, underneath stuff, those are all high percentage plays, move the chains, you know, West Coast offense type stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you a defensive player, first defensive player on the list, Kayvon Wallace. And flying under the radar a little bit because we talked about the secondary and how good it looks on paper. He's one injury away from playing, but I think he's going to find the field even if someone doesn't get hurt. Because I've been thinking about this a lot, and Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod have both pretty much been deep safeties in their careers. So you think, all right, they'll probably play more cover two, but that can't be all the time. They're going to need some sort of box defender. And to me, Wallace really fits that. I think that if they end up in some sub packages, that Wallace is going to find the field and he's going to be a box defender. And I like him. I mean, I think there's some, I felt really bad for him last year. His first extended playing time, he was out there one-on-one against George Kittle, and it went about as well as you'd expect. But he battled, and I like him. I there's something about him that I like. I think he's a playmaker. I think he has the right mentality. Is he somewhat limited physically? Maybe. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy. But I think he can play, and he's going to be a big piece to this puzzle because – Rodney and Harris are entering their final years. The Eagles are going to have to make a decision. And either way, I think Wallace is kind of lining up to be a starter next year, if he can prove that he can play this year.
Yeah. And I mean, this team in general, their best defensive players are older players. So they just need some of these younger guys to blossom. And he's certainly one to watch. Yeah, I know what you mean. He's got, you can see he's got something. I like the way, you know, he didn't back down from Kittle. I mean, it was an impossible situation, but I think he learned a lot about him that day. Just in his, you know, I remember we talked to him. I don't think we talked to him after the game. I think we talked to him. I don't think we talked to him for a couple of weeks after the. But when we did, we asked him about it, and you know, he just said, you know, he's. I mean, he hadn't played before, and he's out there against maybe the best tight end ever, and or one of them. And, you know, he just talked about it like that was his assignment. That was his job. He's not going to be intimidated or overwhelmed. He's, you know, he's a player like me. I liked his attitude. And like you said, he didn't back down that day. He battled. He didn't hang his head when Kittle made plays on him. I remember one pass to Kittle in the toward the left sideline. And he had great, he had like perfect coverage. And Kittle just like, he's just like a monster. And he just, you know, went up and caught it. And like, there's nothing else he could have done. So, yeah, he's going to be in trouble. They need him to take a big step.
Okay. Why don't you pick your third player here?
I'm going to go defense as well. Ryan Kerrigan. Okay. Curious to see what he has left. I think he could be a pretty important guy, you know, and we'll see what happens with Sweat and Derek Barnett. We know what BG is going to do. But to have four pass rushers like that who have all, you know, I mean, Barnett hasn't been what the Eagles expected, what we expected, but he's still a pretty good player and functional pass rusher, and Sweat has gotten a little better each year, and BG is BG. So when you look at this group of pass rushers, then you add a Kerrigan who's not what he was a few years ago, but I kind of think he might still have something left. And I mean, he did have what, 5.5-6 sacks last year in limited playing time. Doesn't have to be the guy in this rotation. He can come in fresh on 3rd-and-12 and go after the quarterback. So You know, want to see what kind of quickness he has, what his first step looks like, and just how, you know, with older guys, you never know what you're getting. You know, is he just looking for that one last paycheck? And I don't think he's that kind of guy. But with older guys in general, they're not always what you think they are. So curious to see exactly what he has left.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And it'll be fun with that rotation. Him and Sweat coming off the benches. Pretty good. You can do hockey line changes almost, you know?
Right.
All right, my last one. Since you cheated, I'll cheat too. And I'll just say the left tackle competition. Right. It's an obvious one, but I'm really excited. You know, if we weren't all watching Jalen Hurts, we'd all be watching that. And we're obviously going to watch that because it feels like a legit competition. You know, sometimes there's competition, but like, is it really? And I think some people think that about this because one of the guys is a first round pick and they think, well, they're going to tilt it toward the first round pick. I don't get that sense. And maybe I'm wrong, but I really don't. I think it's going to be pretty fair. And it also feels like whoever wins this job is the left tackle. I don't think they're going to go back and forth. I think whoever wins the job is the left tackle. And unless he plays terribly, is going to be the left tackle, not just for this year, but I mean, they're going to have to sign one of these guys. Mailata's coming up next. I mean, he's in the last year of his rookie contract right now. So they'd have to sign him. And I think they'd probably try to get it done during the season if he wins the job. And Dillard's gonna get there. I mean, I know he'll have the fifth year option, but they'd probably want to sign him to a long-term deal and make him the guy. So that's what makes this battle so much fun, is that whoever wins this job could be the next left tackle for 10 years.
It's a long time, but
they two guys before them did it.
JP and Trey did it. What do you think we'll know? I mean, we talk about with Jalen Hurts, we'll know by the end of the year. Do you think we'll know, let's say, by the end of training camp, who the left? Do you think it's going to be obvious?
No. Maybe not obvious to us. I don't have the eye that Jeff Stoutland has for offensive line play. I love watching them, and I feel like I have a pretty good sense. But he's looking for very specific things, and it will also matter how. And he mentioned this, but it'll matter how we play. That player plays next to Samalu. Mm-hmm. You need that. I mean. That's one of the reasons Samalu took that starting job back, was because Jason Peters went to bat for him. Jason Peters liked playing next to him. So that obviously JP had some clout that Samalu doesn't have, but it won't be Samalu's words. It'll be his play. Like, how is that line functioning with that player at left tackle? That'll matter.
And Stoutland went out of his way to talk about the chemistry that Dillard and Samalu have together.
Yeah, but I mean, Mailata has actually played with him.
Yeah.
You know, he played not every game, obviously, but they played a few games together last year. So I don't know if you're going to know. And even last year, I look at training camp, I didn't think Dillard or Mailata were particularly good. I remember there was some excitement about Dillard because he came back bigger. I didn't think he played very well. And then, remember, Mailata didn't even play well enough to be the next guy at left tackle. They went through their other options first. So that's what scares me, is we saw how well Mailata played last year after not playing very well in training camp. So will they for sure know? I'm not so sure. Do you think they'll know?
Yes.
Okay. Ideal.
Yeah,
you'd like to not second guess yourself.
Yeah, I think one of them will kind of take ownership of the spot, but it's going to be fun because usually, like you said, most training camp competitions, they're not really competitions. You know who's going to win that. And you say we have competition every spot. I mean, it's not like Fletcher Cox is going to get benched. So this is real. It's going to be fun.
Do you have an idea of who you think is going to win it?
I think Dillard's going to win it.
I think Mailata's going to win it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll bench a lunch at Mercer Cafe.
I'll take it. All right.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We want to go through my top 20 most important players. I will quickly recap 20 through 11. We kind of broke those down last week, but just so we have a reset. Number 20 was Joe Flacco, 19 Eric Wilson, 18 Jalen Reagor, 17 Rodney McLeod, 16 Avante Maddox, 15 I cheated, Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata, 14, Derek Barnett, 13, Anthony Harris, 12, Javon Hargrave, 11, Alex Singleton, and now we're at number 10. By the way, I think Steven Nelson, if he was here when I did this, he'd be in the team somewhere, maybe ahead of Avante.
It's interesting to me that you cheated twice on this podcast so far, and it was both with the same two guys.
Well, I already cheated with this. I mean, I'm just bringing up a previous cheat.
I'm saying you cheated when we were talking about guys we want to watch, and it was Dillard and Mailata, and yeah. You cheated in the top 10 with the same two guys.
That's one cheat. It's just happening multiple times.
No, it's two cheats. They're separate things.
We can disagree on that. All right, let's get into the top 10. Brandon Brooks at number 10. Maybe high for a right guard, but he's a very good right guard. He's one of the best right guards in the league, and they need him to play like that coming back from the Achilles.
Yeah, it's where he belongs. He's a top 10 important guy, and you know he's in his 30s now. Is he 31, I believe? Mm-hmm. And hasn't gotten through a season since the Super Bowl year. It's, you know, the end of a season. He's gotten through a regular season. Missed all last year, but he's had – it's had a long time to heal. I think their guard depth is okay. It's decent. We saw guys play okay at times last year, but I mean, when he's right, he's as good as anybody in the league. So as much as I like Nate Herbig and the way he played, and he did a good job, it's a huge drop from Brandon Brooks to Nate Herbig or Sua or whoever else you want to put in there. So,
and we don't know Dickerson's availability.
Yeah, we don't know. I kind of feel like he's still not in that picture quite yet. So to start the season, a healthy Brandon Brooks is huge.
Yeah. All right. Number 9, Brandon Graham, all-star or pro bowler last year. That was a big deal for him. And it wasn't like a career achievement award. He played well last year and he got off to such a hot start. You know, he tailed off at least statistically toward the end of the season. So you go back and you go, I wonder what was happening there. But he still was effective. And he's the type of player that even when he's not getting sacks, he's contributing in other ways. He's getting pressure. He's really good against the run. And as hokey as it sounds, his energy does matter. I mean, he's, especially with a new head coach, having a guy who's all bought in, who's the longest tenured player here, that matters.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think sometimes that energy thing is – overrated, or it's not real. I mean, with him, I mean, it could not be more real. I mean, he's that way in interviews. You know, you see him at the lunch table in the cafeteria and he's got as much energy as, you know, I mean, it's just who he is. And it's contagious. It's addictive. So but you're right. He did tail off big time the second half. Effort was still there. The production wasn't. I think having Kerrigan having a four-man rotation is going to help BG. You know, he played a lot last year. He played a lot of snaps. He had to, especially as the injuries piled up. And I think if that number goes down, I think you'll see a better second half.
Yeah. All right. Number eight, Miles Sanders. I like this spot for him. I could have argued he could be higher on this list, but I do like the idea of him being in Sirianni's offense, a head coach that's going to stick with the run a little bit more. And it would be nice to see him get back to catching the ball.
Yeah, and this is an important year for him. You know, this is year three, and at some point soon, they're going to have to figure out what they want to do with him. So I thought, you know, he had three really long runs last year, but overall, I don't think he had a really good season. We haven't seen the consistency. He was banged up. But, I mean, that's true with everybody in this offense last year. It's hard to really evaluate anybody because the whole thing was such a train wreck. So when he's making plays, running and catching, he's such a weapon. He's a really, really good player, but we didn't really see him do that a whole lot last year. He's big. And we talk about the other running backs, you know, Boston and Kerryon Johnson and these guys, but they need Miles to be the Miles of his rookie year. And then some. They need that.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Number seven, Devontae Smith, pretty high for a rookie, but he's going to need to be their number one receiver. And I think he needs to at least have a 800 to 1,000 yard season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he'll be over 1,000 yards, which no Eagles rookie's ever done. I think Deshaun has the record, right? 968 or something. So he gets another game to do it. I think he will. I think 1,000 yards anymore is like average.
Yeah.
And I think he's better than average. And I think he and Jalen Hurts have a pretty good thing going, and that's only going to get better. We've been disappointed so many times by young Eagles wide receivers that I think it's natural to really have some hesitation about the kid. But I think he's really good, and I think we'll see that. I think we'll all see that this year.
Yeah, I think we'll see it Wednesday. I think away we're going to see that he's a little different breed. Number six, Dallas Goedert. It's funny. I think you can almost lump Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert in the same category of, will they have their season this year? Is this year they're going to break out? I feel more confident in Dallas doing that than I do in Miles.
Interesting. You can make a case that Dallas is already more advanced in his career than Miles compared to other tight ends and compared to other running backs. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Goddard's a top 10 tight end. Miles is not a top 10 running back. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like there is more there with Goddard. Like if he could put it together, and, you know, he had some drops last year, like everyone else, he was hurt. I mean, I think he's potentially a star. I really do. I think, you know, and we've seen signs of that, but yeah, in year three, that's kind of, you are what you're going to be for the most part. So he is huge. And, you know, anytime you have a young quarterback, you want a receiver who is like just money on third and five, third and six. And I mean, we'll see what happens with Zach Ertz, but Goddard has to be that guy. I mean, they got deep threats. They've upgraded wide receiver, and they have running backs who can catch the ball, but Goddard has done it. He's a proven guy. He's big.
Yeah. And he's a different player than Zach Ertz. You know, there are things Zach does that Dallas will probably never do. You know, I don't know if he'll ever, I mean, Dallas is never going to catch 118 balls in a year. And Zach has always been so good at settling in his zone, finding his spatial awareness is really next level. And you're talking about like finding the guy on third and five. I don't, like, that's Zach settling into his zone, picking up. I think Dallas can do that a little bit, but he's never going to reach that level. But on the other hand, I don't want to talk about Yak too much because Zach is better than people give him credit for, but Dallas is a Yak guy. He can make big plays in the pass game. He's more explosive. and he's a better blocker. And his blocking, it's tough to quantify it. That's why, I mean, Pro Football Focus is helpful in that regard because they help quantify what his blocking means. But last year, he was asked to stay in so much because the offensive line was a wreck that this year, if the O-line's healthier, that's more routes, more opportunities. So every sign is kind of pointing to Dallas having a big year. And even if Zach is still here, he needs to be the backup. I mean, they have to give Dallas Goedert a chance to be the legit number one.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's kind of like Celek at the end, you know, at the end of his career, mm-hmm. You know, Ertz had kind of supplanted him, but Goddard can be that. He can be that third and five guy. He just hasn't had to be because they've had Ertz. I mean, you're right about Ertz's awareness. I mean, that ability to get open in a crowd is incredible. You look at that fourth down in the Super Bowl. He had like three guys draped over him, and he just kind of somehow got himself in position to make that catch. It was incredible, but I think Goddard could do that too. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously, you know, more of a down the field yards after the catch guy. He's an intriguing player. I think number six is a good, some people might say it's too high for him, but it's a good spot.
Number five, Darius Slay. He had a good year last year. He probably didn't play to the level he wanted to play to. I mean, he had a couple rough games against top notch receivers. Every other game he played really well. I think five is a good spot for him. The addition of Steven Nelson helps overall. But either way, I mean, maybe the addition of Steven Nelson means that Slay will see more targets. Maybe he'll have some chance to actually intercept some passes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if I'd go as far as saying he was disappointing last year.
It depended on your expectations.
Yeah.
If you expected him to be a top five corner and be a Pro Bowl player, he wasn't that. But if you expected him to be very good, the best cover corner they've had in 10 years, he was that.
Well, Sante was here 9 years ago. But yeah, yeah, that's true. It's a low bar though, Dave. Yeah. So let's compare him to, I don't know, Darby was pretty good in 17.
He was better than Darby was in 17.
I don't think so.
He was.
Darby made plays in 17.
Darby missed 10 games, whatever it was, too.
He missed like six games, right?
I don't know. Yeah, he missed some games.
But no, I like Slay. But I would like to see him make some plays this year and come out with three or four picks.
And he'd admit that. I mean, even, you know, he had really tough responsibilities against some of the top receivers in the league. And everyone looks at the Metcalf game, the Adams game. And it's true, like, that's tough. Be one-on-one against those players. But Slay will admit, like, hey, I'm allowed to – like, I should beat them sometimes. They shouldn't win every matchup. So you'd like to see that. But I thought in the other matchups against top receivers, he played really well.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. He's a good player. Number four, Lane Johnson. I feel more confident about Brandon Brooks returning from his Achilles than I do about Lane returning from his ankle injury.
Interesting. I know what you mean. It's because it's been a chronic thing with Brandon. It's been different injuries, and he's had a year since his surgery, over a year. Lane, that ankle, it's just been, you know, that goes back to October of 2018. It's understandable to wonder if he'll ever be the same player. And I think we all do.
In an interview with NBC 10 last week, he admitted that his ankle is about 90%. And he doesn't think anyone who's ever had ankle injuries kind of knows this. And I've had ankle injuries. I'm not an NFL player, but I know that one ankle is always going to be weaker than the other. And then you take it to that degree where you're saying, well, he's the NFL player. He's had multiple surgeries. He's a heavy guy. He admitted that his left ankle is probably never going to be as strong as his right ankle. And a player at that size, by the way, who wouldn't be that size if he wasn't in the NFL, it's a guy who's carrying extra weight because he's in the league, I think. It worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it's understandable. It should worry everybody. The big concern for me isn't really that 10% weaker that the one ankle is, it's getting hurt again. And maybe when it's weaker, it can get hurt again. And, you know, how much this latest surgery has really corrected whatever was wrong, because he's had surgeries before. So I think until we see him out there day to day after day, and it'll be interesting to see if he gets where he gets days off. There's a lot of guys coming back from serious injuries who it'll be interesting to see how Nick handles that. Yeah, I think we're all going to be holding our breath about Lane.
Yeah. All right, speed through these last three here. At number three, Jason Kelce. And by the way, not a great sign that a lot of these in the top 10 are 30-plus guys, but Kelsey's 33. They need him. It is a transition year, but having him under center for Jalen Hurts is a big deal.
Yeah, and I think it's big for Nick Sirianni just that Jason Kelce came back. And, you know, it's instant credibility for the head coach when a Hall of Fame caliber player who has contemplated retirement for a while now and was close to Doug and is associated with the Super Bowl team and could easily has a, you know, a two little kids now. It'd be really easy for Jason Kelce to say, you know what, new quarterback, new coach, new regime, it's time for me to move on. But I mean, he's as eager to play as ever. So that's huge for the whole team.
Number two, Fletcher Cox. He's still their best overall player, I think. I know he had a little bit of a down year last year, but he's still disruptive. And I think he's probably going to bounce back a little bit this year. We'll have to see how the scheme suits him, but they're still going to let him attack. And he's still a monster. And I understand that there's a thought that he can't do it forever. And maybe at some point they have to move on. But if they're going to try to win this year, they need Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I thought his disappointing season last year, I thought that was a little overrated. I thought he was pretty good for the most part. I mean, there's stretches where, I mean, it's tough with a defensive tackle, you know, it's tough to kind of, unless you're really watching film. I don't think he had a bad year. And I think this year with, you know, you add, Milton Williams to that rotation and, you add Kerrigan outside. I mean, that whole D line, I think
a healthy Hargrave next
and time. A healthy Hargrave, possibly we'll see, it's something we haven't really, I haven't really seen, but he's an underrated piece. If he's healthy, he's not a bad player. So that's eight deep on the D line, which will help him stay fresh, stay productive. He's only 30. You know, it's not like he's, you know, when he's 34-year-old dude. So he should be dominating. And I'm being trying, you know, he's got another coach, another D coordinator, another position coach, his 13th since he's been here, 2012. So number two it's a good spot for him because they don't have a lot of stars. They just don't have stars on this team. And he's an unquestioned superstar when he's right. This guy's a six-time Pro Bowler. So they need him to be Fletch.
Yeah. And any guesses on number one? It's I don't know who it could be.
I'm gonna guess we haven't mentioned Craig James. Taron Jackson hasn't come up. Harry Kreider, Jalen Hurts. I don't think we've mentioned. I'm guessing one of those guys.
It's Harry Kreider. Jalen Hurts is number one, obviously. We've talked a ton about him. We don't need to talk about him much anymore. It's a big year for him. We got to see what he can do.
Yeah, can't wait to do it. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So look back the list real quick. Who do I have too high? Who do I have too low?
No, I think, you know, and we talked last week about, I think there were maybe one or two guys I thought you had too high or too low. But I think for the both, like, I think Alex Singleton's probably a little high at 11. Mm-hmm. I probably have like a Anthony Harris, a Barnett, a Hargrave ahead of him. Even the left tackles probably. But I think the top 10 is you know, if there's anybody, I might move Brandon Brooks up, but then you have to move someone down. You know, just because there's such a big gap from him to whoever's next. But no, it's a good list. And I have a feeling we're going to be writing about these 20 guys a lot over the next few weeks.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right. The next time we talk to you guys, we will have seen a training camp practice.
How about that?
Yeah, I can't wait. If you enjoy the Eagle Eye podcast, this is where I mention, please rate, subscribe wherever you get your pods. If you're watching on YouTube, click the subscribe button there as well. That helps us out for reasons I don't quite understand, but do it. Just definitely do it for us. We'll be back with you guys. We'll record one and release one on Wednesday at some point after practice. So be on the lookout for that. And I know people were annoyed with us when we took our little summer break. Well, you're going to be sick of us pretty soon because we're going to do a lot of podcasts during training camp. For Rube, I'm Dave. We'll talk to you soon.